Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, my name is Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back. And we were talking about some tools last time, but we're going to talk about some more tools. So, Scott, what's... cue us up.
Well, one of the things that we can't help but notice, you probably can't help but notice it either, is that when people talk about political things or even about spiritual things, a lot of times they talk right past one another and they are all just kind of talking into the air and nobody's really listening. And while there might be many reasons for that, and I think there probably are, there's one that sort of stands out to me. And so we're going to try and build that out a little bit here. It's a simple tool that I think will make life a lot easier if you are able to step back and think about this in a practical way. So I want to just give some for instances because let's just say I've had a lot of people argue with me. I've been in these on the receiving end of complaints and all sorts of things. And
so you're well qualified.
You know, I wish I wasn't, but sometimes I guess I just can't help it. Anyway, you know, one of those things that's come at me a number of times is school choice. You know, how are you going to school your children? Are you going to put them in private school? Are you going to homeschool them? Are you going to send them to public school? What are you going to do to educate your children? That's one thing. The reason I picked that is because it is emotional from the beginning and people don't really listen to each other and they talk past each other and they make assumptions about each other. And I haven't had very many really happy conversations about that, I'm just going to say.
So just to clarify, when you say school choice, you're talking about the choice of a parent of which mode of schooling they want to grab, not necessarily the political,
right.
I can put my funding wherever I want to put it, that kind of school choice, but simply what mode of education.
Right. I'm not talking about a policy, you know, though it could get there, right? That
sure.
Could be an outcome of this same conversation, but I haven't even made it to the policy yet. I'm mm-hmm. just thinking about my own family and talking to some other parents about their own family. And we got stuck before we ever got to the policy. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Another is that how you go about solving pro-life problems, or how you maybe eliminate abortion. And it seems like it's very easy to fixate on the platform of a national figure or a president as the key to getting Roe v. Wade overturned and solving all of the abortion problems that you might see out in the world. And so the reason that one's come up is because, yeah, people have been after me about that some, and we probably will talk about that as an application of our tool in a moment. And while that's political and the other one might be in the realm of church or even family, one of the things that happens that I've noticed, not to say it happens in my family, but it may happen in yours, is when it comes time to plan a vacation. It comes time to plan a vacation and all of a sudden we say, let's have a vacation. Everyone says, hoorah. And then we all start talking about what we'd like to do. And we end up talking about our thing and not really listening to somebody else's thing. And then we sort of procrastinate about planning a vacation and then we get stuck and do whatever works the best. So those are some things that we that have been problems, and we're going to try and address a tool that really will help in each one of those. And that tool, very simply, is to distinguish between the ends and the means. to be very clear about what the end is. What is it, what are we trying to accomplish here? What's the goal or the destination? If we're really clear about that, then we recognize there are several means to that. Okay, I'm just going to go back to illustrate that with my example. So it's vacation time. And we a lot of times don't really talk about what is the goal of a family vacation. It's to have time together. It's to relax. It's to recover from the rest of the year, maybe.
Rest.
And we need to state the goal. And the reality is there might be many ends to that, or many means to that, excuse me. So the means might be to go visit extended family, because then we don't have the financial burden and we have some extra time and we're familiar with that. And it might be to go somewhere warm and tropical and lay on the beach. And that would come with some downsides, but that might accomplish it as well. And so the problem is not really, should we vacation on the beach or with extended family, but let's stay focused on what we're trying to accomplish in the vacation. Mm. And then reverse engineer it so that we can get the best means to that end, or at least agree on the means. And that would be really helpful in planning a vacation for your family this summer. Same thing with school choice. You've got school choice and you've got, I think that we lose sight of the end here at the very beginning, that we lose sight of the goal. Because if the goal for a Christian parent is to raise a disciple of Jesus, then that's the goal. If mm-hmm. you're going to complicate the goal, if your goal is to get a student into Harvard or some other goal, then that changes the means that you would use. But if all of the arguments that I've had for the most part have been when we assume the goal is make disciples of your children. And then you've got different means to that end. You've got a private school means, you've got a homeschooling means, you've got a public school means, and you have to evaluate which of those means gets me to the end and talk about the means as though they're means and not as though they're the main thing. Because the main thing is making a disciple of Jesus with your children. And that
Because what could happen... Yes. Is someone decides only option B for school is mm-hmm. the only appropriate means for this particular end, and then you end up vilifying any other options, and you say, oh, your means is incorrect. You cannot, if the goal is discipling children, you've picked the wrong means. You can't accomplish the ends because I've limited what is actually possible. Limited the possible means.
Well, there will be means that are better than other means.
Sure.
But when I identify you only with the means that you choose and argue only the way that you do it, because the way that you do it is stupid or sinful or whatever, mm-hmm. We're not really having a constructive conversation anymore because we've lost sight of the end, and we're only talking about the means. That's what I've seen happen is just immediately flashing, oh, you could never do that with, you know, your school choice. And it's really disappointing. And I think we'd have far better results in discipling our children if we had conversations really amongst even those three alternatives about, okay, how, if you homeschool your children, how are you going to help them be disciples of Jesus? Or how, mm-hmm. if you go send to public school, how are you going to help them be disciples of Jesus? That would be a really positive and constructive conversation that is different from arguing that my way is the best way. See, that's the mm-hmm. thing. That's what it turns into, is an argument about my way being the best way, instead of I'm trying to do the same thing you're trying to do. You see that? For mm-hmm. me, when you focus on the goal and you can say, I'm trying to do the same thing you're trying to do, all of a sudden we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And how we get there is, you know, that might be a matter of our decision or choice, but we're pulling for one another. We're on the same team instead of fighting over the fact that I do it right and you do it wrong, or I do it better and you do it worse. And boy, I just wish that weren't the case. But that's how it's played out in my experience on that topic.
Well, and if we're all on the same team pulling together, I mean, if I need encouragement about anything, I need encouragement about discipling my kids, and I need more people rowing with me for sure. Mm-hmm. And what I think is the flip side of that is if there's only one right way, only one right means, not only do I lose the rowing together aspect, but also I would be tempted to not even look critically at the way I'm engaging this at all. Not ask the question, is this a good means for my discipleship of my kids? And you may be even worse off because you're not willing to have conversations about it because you've quote unquote picked the right way, and now conversation's over. It could be less helpful.
Yeah, and some of the time I think you might not pick the best way, and you might not pick the best way on purpose. You might pick the hard way for some reason. And I know it's a harder way, and so I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to make these accommodations, but I'm not going to fight you about the way. I want to fight you about the end. I want to make children disciples of Jesus. So anyway, you can see it that I'm fired up about that already. and my kids are grown, thankfully. But that's one of the things that's, you know, it's come up to us. I mentioned earlier about voting for only for pro-life presidential candidates or something. I'm not going to argue by any means that you vote for a pro-abortion candidate, but I would say that voting for a pro-life presidential candidate is one means to an end, and there's lots of other means, and there's lots of other means that are probably much more to the point and effective than that means. And so, you know, Eric, you actually mentioned this. What are some other things, some other means to the end of being pro-life, the means to the end of maybe getting rid of abortion and valuing the life of babies? What are some other means to that end besides just voting for, you know, a national, either a senator or a representative or president that has a pro-life platform?
Yeah, you could put your money where your mouth is, to be curt. You can give money to pregnancy resource centers. I mean, if the volume was an analog for funding, then pregnancy resource centers would be flush with cash all over the place. They wouldn't need any more fundraising. So you could give to that. You could give to various groups in that direction. You could foster kids. You could join Safe Families and make your house available for people who are in crisis. Mm-hmm. There are so many. I think you mentioned being in a walkathon to raise money for different things. Mm-hmm. There, if my goal is to love people and love people who are in the maybe the most scary, uncertain, stressful times of their lives, I can do that with practical ends, not a 18 levels removed national scope. There are so many practical things you can do in your county, in your city, that are so much more boots on the ground.
And the reality, I think, is too that you know, we might see the reversal of Roe v. Wade in this calendar year, and we might not, but we might. And if we do, we'll find that the issues are quite different, in that we're going to run into you know, state issues, local issues, maybe even county issues that we didn't even know existed because we were all about national issues only. And I think a lot of jurisdictions, probably ours included, won't see any change at all in abortion rates or accessibility when Roe's overturned, just because of what's going on with our state. So anyway, the means, I think you got to pay attention to the means, and be excited when other people are after the same end as you.
Mm.
Yeah, really. Yeah, we're in it. Now, I might see it a little differently on how I vote for this person or that person, or I might see it a little differently of where I give money or what I do, but we're trying for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets lost. And so that's why I wanted to spend a few moments talking about the memes in the end, because we are on the same team with so many people that we're arguing with.
Mm-hmm.
And we really can do better, I think. So but it is hard to think about that when it comes time to be talking with somebody, to say what is going on when you get somebody comes after you, or you get in an argument, or there's something that you don't even understand, and it just happens, and you say, "What just happened?" The reason we're bringing this up, the tool of ends and means will be a helpful tool to find your footing in a conversation or a situation like that, to say, mm-hmm. okay, what are we trying to do? And what is the means to that end? Are they advocating something different than I might advocate? And are we really not arguing about what we're trying to accomplish, but we're arguing about ways that we might accomplish it? And sometimes there isn't freedom to do multiple things, and sometimes there's not resource to do multiple things. And I get that, and we only have to pick the one absolute best thing. But sometimes we can work at multiple means to accomplish the same end and be more effective at that.
One I would add, we're talking about maybe being in a conversation with someone and trying to find the clear path to just be able to communicate well. I think a lot of times this comes into play because outside influences will want to drive you towards a particular means. And this will come up. We're not currently in an election season, but election season is going to come, because it always comes in our republic. And people are going to want you to be narrowed into a single means. And that means will probably be something that requires money from you or a vote from you. And if you can ponder ends and means and be able to pull those things apart and realize, the volume is getting very loud because they want me directed towards a particular means. It's probably electing a specific person or raising money for a specific cause. And if you can just pause and not hear the volume, not hear the particular rhetoric, and think, what is the ends? What is my desired ends in this situation? And does this particular means actually get me there? And is there something disqualifying about this means? Because if I need to go find a different means for the ends I actually care about, then ignore whoever's yelling at you and go somewhere else. So I just want to cue us up, have these ready, just because someone's telling you with great urgency that this is the most important XYZ that we've ever experienced. This is the most important election of our lifetime, whatever. You need to vote X, or you need to give towards Y. They have particular desires in mind. They have particular goals in mind, but they may not be good means towards the ends that you actually want.
So hopefully this helps you think about the conversations you have, the pitches that you receive, maybe some conflict that you experience. And this is not really a biblical instruction. It's not really a political instruction. This is just hopefully a practical common sense approach that helps you understand and even articulate what you're trying to do, and then separate that from the way that you're trying to do it. Now, Eric, mm-hmm. You just read a book that gave you kind of a related tool, and it's kind of hard to tell whether it's a different tool or the same one, but it's also really quite helpful. So what did you uncover in your reading?
Yeah, we might just give you extra tools, so get a bigger tool belt if you need it. I just finished reading Creation Regained by Albert Walters. And just a little book. It's a great little description of how the world kind of comes together with that same redemptive narrative we've talked about many, many times. Creation, fall, redemption. He talks about restoration in there as well. But he had the categories of structure and direction. And I just thought that was super interesting. Structure being the form of something that God created, or the form of something that's in God's good world. And the structure can be good. The structure, the form can be helpful, beneficial, God glorifying even. But the direction of it may be ill, may be broken, may be perverted, or made evil even. And that distinction is really helpful, because often we'll see something that is directed towards, I was going to say directed towards the wrong direction, but really that could be it, directed towards evil, directed towards brokenness, directed away from God. And we could look at that thing and say, oh, that's a broken thing. We need to reject it entirely. When in reality, it may be a good structure that's been wrongly directed. He had several examples. It was one of the examples that comes to mind for me is technology, and I specifically think about a smartphone. The structure of a smartphone—that's the technology we interact with most every day. The structure of a smartphone is a good. You can do wonder. I can read my Bible every day on a smartphone. It's a wonderful piece of technology. I can connect with people easily. I've had a FaceTime call today. I can have face-to-face interaction with someone because of this good structure. I can also take that same structure, use technology, and I can direct it towards evil. I can direct it towards perversion. I can use, you can use an iPhone to engage pornography. You can use an iPhone to isolate yourself, to pull yourself away from community, to completely distract yourself, to make it so that you can't pay attention anymore. You can't engage the embodied world as you ought to engage it. And those are two different directions of the same technology. And the temptation would be, oh, look at this bad direction. We need to reject this structure. We need to reject this technology. But in reality, it's very similar to an ends and means thing. You have to figure out, what is the structure here, and is this structure a good structure, misdirected, and if so, let's reject the misdirection and call this thing back to its intended end, its intended purpose.
And so you would say it's possible to keep a smartphone and then to use it in a better direction. Mm-hmm. So you appreciate and maybe preserve the structure, and you are careful about the direction.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking what other kinds of illustrations there might be of this structure and direction. And one of the things was governmental, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've lived under mask mandates for a long time now, and there have been all kinds of guidances about vaccines and what to do in this pandemic. And you know, there is a structure there. There is a government structure that is set up to protect the citizens, and mm-hmm. there are people who are charged with that responsibility, delegated. One might even say that responsibility by God. And then there's the direction of how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And do we like the way they're doing it? And is it the best way? And is it the right way? And I bring that up because I think some people just want to kind of shake their fist at the government and say, you know, forget the government, forget the structure. Right. Instead of saying, well, we've got the right structure in place. I mean, it seems like that does accord to the way God talks about what government ought to do. And then maybe the direction's not quite right. And what can we do about mm-hmm. that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he brought that up in the book as well. He was referring to the far extreme of like a totalitarianism. And he said, political totalitarianism, for example, should not be opposed or should be opposed not by rejecting the state as such, and he says that's the error of anarchism, but by calling the state back to its God-ordained task of administering public justice. So that's a more extreme example of what you just described. But the right action is not to go, we don't need a state at all.
Yeah.
The right action is no, there's a proper, the Kuiper answer would be there's a proper sphere for the state. Coisus as well. Just go back to the other episodes, but there's a proper sphere for the state and it needs to do everything it's supposed to do in that sphere, and it needs to do it excellently. There's a structure and there's a proper direction. So let's call it to the proper direction. And there are many different structures. We talked about technology. There's the government. There's the family. There's school. There's work relationships. Walters is from Canada, so he talked about work and he talked about the hockey club. Like, those are different structures, and there are different directions for both of them. And there are good ways for both of those to happen well, and there could be bad directions. So discerning the structure and calling back to the proper structure when you see poor direction being displayed.
So it is a little bit of an ends means thing, but the whole idea of what we're trying to do today is to invite ourselves, invite listeners to be able to step back and look at something going on around them and say, is this an ends or a means? And which one of those is sacred? And is this a structure or is this a direction? And what one of those needs to be fixed and what one of those is ordained by God and how does that work? So if you can just do the mental work of sitting back before you post something on social media or you read something before you forward to social media, that's really the thing. Because what you'll find is most of the stuff coming at you does not separate these two things.
Right.
And so you would be probably slower to just forward stuff if you said, okay, how is this ends means relationship working? How is this structure directions relationship working before you just forward something? So that's our encouragement. And that's kind of why we're doing this today.
Mm-hmm. That just reminds me, if I made a rule, I have to read what I'm going to forward before I forward it and kind of dig into it. And man, the amount of things I haven't forwarded because I make that little rule for myself, just, I'm going to share this. And then I better finish reading it. Well, never mind. That's not as helpful as I thought it was. And just, if you can make that a rule for yourself, for the sake of your neighbor.
It wouldn't occur to me that you would forward it without reading it. So
I know.
I guess
it's all clickbait stuff, right? Like you get the headline and you go, oh, that's perfect. And maybe you get a little bit through. You're like, no, I know, I'm gonna read this all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And then okay. And then probably your temperature goes down. And then you don't send it either. So there's a free tidbit, I guess.
Good. Yeah. No, that definitely do that.
Well, there's some tools for the toolbox. If you have some means or questions about some means or some questions about some structure or direction or ends, send them to our email address. And we are trying to get a new email address set up. So it's comment@cityonahillpodcast.com. We're making a big switch over to another website to be hosted a little more formally, and we hope that transition is going well. And if not, you can attempt to email us and tell us how that's going. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us. We want other people to hear this stuff. We want to be helpful for them. We want them to be able to parse out ends and means. So sending a review for our podcast would go a long way in getting that to other people's ears. Share this with a friend. Again, if you have questions, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com. And we look forward to the next conversation.